following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
ESPN Radio Superstation, glad to have you along with us for today's program. If you would like to join us, 888-455-3776. That is the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line. You can always tweet us at ESPN 1460-1550 and email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Coming up on the program today, Brian Christofferson is going to talk a little Huskers with us from the Lincoln Journal Star. It is an off week. There is no Husker lunch today at Cunningham's. We'll be back there next week to get you ready for Northwestern. But today, we're in studio for the Doug and Daddy Show, so hope you'll stay with us. Brian Christofferson, Lincoln Journal Star, Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, and we'll be talking UNK Loperlink with soccer coach John Masner coming up here in just a couple of minutes on the program. So stay with us for all of that. Tomorrow, we're going to be over at Bandits in Grand Island answering your fantasy football questions with Luke Hoover, Blair Kirkhoff of the Kansas City Star. We talk and hear from Blair throughout the state of Nebraska so often on football issues, Big Ten issues, back in the day, Big 12 issues, and he's going to give us a little take on what it's like down there in Kansas City with the Royals getting ready to take on the Baltimore Orioles, and that is tomorrow. Steve Anderson will be our co-host. But baseball last night, whew, I don't know which one was worse to lose on. And are you tired of the Cardinals? And I'm not bashing on the Cardinals. I'm just asking. Once the Cardinals have now become a little mini dynasty, four straight National League Championship Series now for the Cardinals. And as a Royals fan, I'm wondering, do you want the Cardinals? Would you like to play the Cardinals in the World Series? I think it'd be cool for the state of Missouri, but in a kind of a selfish way, do you want to share the spotlight with them? I mean, I don't. I mean, we've seen enough of the Cardinals. I'd like to see the Royals have the stage here so that they can enjoy it all to themselves. Now, whether either one of them makes it to the World Series is still up in the air. We'll just have to see how that all plays out. But because of Matt Adams' three-run home run, Clayton Kershaw, you know, get off the guy. Take him any day of the week. Put him out there every time. No problem. Nothing wrong. I'll take Clayton Kershaw every single time. But one swing of the bat, a couple of barely hits there. They only managed four hits in the whole ball game, but they got the timely ones and strung them together there in the seventh inning. And the Cardinals win 3-2 over the Dodgers, who I still think is the better team. But it didn't happen. And probably a lot of people would say the Royals weren't better than the Angels, but it happened that way. And then the Nationals, man, I just quit throwing the ball in the dirt. Base is loaded, and you throw one 5 feet in front of the plate. I just don't think I can have you on my team as a pitcher. I can't handle that. There's no excuse for that. Can't handle it. And Washington falls to San Francisco 3-2. So the two wildcard teams still alive and in the championship series, Royals, Orioles, and Cardinals, Giants. They are the final four in Major League Baseball. We'll get more to that. Much football to talk about, but right now, as we do on our Wednesdays, we like to start the program with our Loper Link, brought to you by CharterWest National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons, they have the loans. See Russ Smith today at CharterWest National Bank. Well, it seems like they've been on the road a long, long time, and the UNK soccer team finally gets to come home to take on Central Oklahoma and Northeastern State this weekend. Head Coach John Mazner with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, welcome home. Good morning.
Yeah, how's everybody doing?
Well, we're doing good. Did you get your frequent bus miles and take in all the sights here the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, we've been traveling a little bit. It's nice to be home. You know, we have 2 weeks with 2 weekends with home games, and then the Hastings midweek next week, which isn't too far from home, so that's going to be nice.
Well, Coach, obviously we can just pick up the stat sheet and see that you're not where you want to be record-wise right now. Tell me a little bit about where the rough spots are and what you're seeing from your team right now.
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, I wish we were here having happier times here. But, yeah, it's been a little bit tough for us, obviously, with our record. It's not great right now. There's been three or four games at least that we think, you know, we really could have and should have won. So our record could be a lot different right now. But, you know, it is what it is, and we're going to just keep going. A lucky bounce here and there, and things could be real different. The team knows that. We know that. We know that, you know, there's still a lot of soccer to be played, we look at our season, we look at the rest of the season and the schedule coming up, and we still feel pretty good that we can have a pretty darn good season. Really, if you look at it, we can still have the best season we've ever had. Now, that's being really optimistic, but that's really the only option we have, and that's we're working hard, we're going to keep working, we're going to keep trying, and we still believe that we can have a good season. You know, we've got 6 out of the last 9 games at home. And if we can figure out ways to put the ball in the net and keep it out of our own net and play well, and we can still finish in the top 8 of the conference and finish much better than that, depending on how we do here. But we're still optimistic that we can do well.
John Mazner, head soccer coach, UNK. Coach, is it just me, or are you just playing all the good teams in the MIAA right now? Because every time I look, it seems like the MIAA as a league is having a pretty good fall so far.
Yeah, there's a lot of good teams, you know, and Central Missouri, Southwest Baptist, Central Oklahoma, Northeastern's been very good, the last few years. We've done pretty well in the conference. We finished up 5th last year, which is great. And, you know, we were planning on finishing even better than that this year. Right now, it doesn't look that way, but there's still a lot of games to be played. And we look at our schedule, with the girls, with the team, there's a bunch of teams coming up that we match up pretty well with, and we think that we can do pretty well. So, yeah, there's good teams in our league. You want it to be that way. You want to play good competition. We still think that we can do well.
John, are the things that you thought had been corrected at the end of last year that just aren't clicking this year? I mean, are there some X and O? Can you explain to us what just isn't working for you right now, what you hope to correct during this homestand?
Well, you know, we've been hit by the injury bug a little bit. You know, I never want to make excuses, but it doesn't help, you know, that we've got 9 girls out, and it's not just little injuries. These are girls that are out for the year, and so that doesn't help for sure. But, you know, everyone's got to step up, and players have been doing a good job. We're just a little bit short. We're just coming up a little bit short here on both ends. And, you know, we got to get better at everything, obviously, but you know, I think we have to compete just a little bit more. Even though the girls have been working hard and competing, I think we can do a little bit better all over the field. And obviously, we have to get forward more and score more goals. So, you know, with the injuries and with you know, the players that started last year for us compared to who's starting right now, it's a different team with a lot of new faces, and then you have the injuries. It's not easy, but you know, we still believe that we can do it. We can string a whole bunch of wins here together and have a good season.
John Mazur with us for another minute here on the Loper Link, a Loper soccer coach. You do seem to be coming along, getting a few more goals, defense, maybe playing a little bit better at times. What are the positives you're seeing here over the last couple weeks?
Well, in every game, there's a lot of things that we do well. You know, it's been one of those seasons so far where, you know, there's just little things here and there, whether it's a little bit unlucky or just the ball doesn't go, you know, bouncing our way right now. So it's just little things here and there that, you know, and in front of the goal, if we were a little bit sharper, if we were a little bit more focused on defense, if we compete just a little bit more on a couple plays during the game. So there's been, in every game, there's been lots of positives. And then, you know, obviously we just haven't gotten the results this year. So, you know, we have to be better all over the field. But we're working hard. The girls are staying optimistic, where they're positive. You know, it's a really good group, and you know, we still believe that there's a lot of soccer to be played, and we can still have a good season. You know, if you look at our schedule, we can still have the best season we've ever had. It's not going to be easy, but we can, if we can string together a bunch of wins here towards the end, we can still do well.
And finally, John, here, it starts this weekend. Tell me a little bit about your opponents in Central Oklahoma and Northeastern State.
Well, you know, Central Oklahoma is one of the best teams in the league. I think right now they sit third in the conference, and they're doing really well. They struggled a little bit last year, but they're a real strong team, and that's good. You know, we want to play a good team. So we'll come in here Friday, give it everything we have. We believe that we can get a result and get a win and start a little winning streak going. And then Northeastern has been very good in our league too. You know, right now they're sitting sixth right now. So they're not doing as well as they have been the last few years, but no, they're still a really good team. So it's two of the better teams in the league that we've have to face this weekend. But it's perfect for us because, you know, we know that we can play against these teams and beat these teams. So why not have two of the best teams at home, you know, to start a little winning streak here.
All right, Coach, we'll let you get back to work. And best of luck at home this weekend, Central Oklahoma, Friday afternoon, Sunday afternoon, Northeastern State, both kick off at 1 o'clock. And John, we'll chat again soon. Be good.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Have a good day.
You bet. John Mazur, head soccer coach, UNK. If you get a chance, go out and root on the Loper soccer team this weekend. They need a couple of wins, especially now that they're finally back at home and they get things pointed in the right direction. Football team, as we said, battle of 0-5. Somebody gets in the win column and maybe gets the second half of the season going in the right direction when they take on Northeastern State in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. The 8th-ranked Loper volleyball team is home, and they will take on Northwest Missouri State Friday. Missouri Western on Saturday, and then next Tuesday, 6th-ranked Washburn comes into town. First serve for all of those is set for 7 o'clock. The cross-country team is off this week. The men's golf team is at the Nebraska Intercollegiate Friday and Saturday. That's up in Norfolk. The women's golf team is in Maryville, Missouri at the Bearcat Fall Classic. The women's swimming team gets things underway. And basketball practice, actually, for the Lopers begin 1 week from today. UNK also has some tennis going on. The National Small College Championships are in Sumter, South Carolina. And for the Lopers, they have a sophomore Lucas Garcias and freshman Joey Richards battling the number one team from BYU Hawaii tomorrow in the opening round. They'll get to play at least two matches out there in South Carolina. And that is our Loper Link, brought to you by Russ Smith at Charterwest National Bank of Kearney, offering all types of loans from FHA, VA, RD, and conventional home loans, and for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons, they have the loans at Charterwest National Bank. When we come back, little Husker talk, little high school football talk. Bob Jensen, after this.
Anderson Brothers, your neighbor serving your neighborhood since 1947, wants to help a neighbor this winter. Anderson Brothers wants to install a high-efficiency furnace free into the home of someone who's truly deserving and in need. Do you know of someone you'd like to nominate? Do you own your own home and are in need? Just contact Anderson Brothers in Kearney or Holdridge before November 14th for your nomination. Giving back to the community, it's just Anderson Brothers' way of saying thank you for the honor of serving Central Nebraska for over 65 years.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, look for a blend of clouds and sunshine. We'll reach a high temperature near 74. Lower winds turning to the south. Then cloudy skies for tonight with lows reaching the upper 40s. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Michael Caro. Currently 55.
Meg and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Back in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, where Chevy Truck Month is rolling along in October with supplier pricing on all Silverados, double cab, crew cab in 1500 and 1500 LTs, the 2500 and the 3500 regular and crew cab as well. You get customer cash plus supplier pricing plus bonus cash and trade assist. It's all there for you from the manufacturer, along with the everyday hassle-free pricing from Midway. Chevy is there for Chevy Truck Month. And don't forget to join Midway in the fight against breast cancer. You test drive any Chevrolet vehicle in the month of October. They contribute $10 towards the American Cancer Society's Making Strides Against Breast Cancer program. You can see their complete inventory online at thinkmidway.com. Don't forget to like them on Facebook, or you can just visit the Midway Auto Dealership anytime. South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Midway, it's a better way.
It's time now for this week's high school football preview on the Doug and Danny Show with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report.
He's got game.
And time now for our weekly Wednesday segment with Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report. Morning, Bob.
Duda, good day to you, my friend.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, so far so good. Got up early, watched the blood moon rise and set. Feel like I've done my part for the day. That was kind of cool, actually.
Okay, I just wondered, could you notice any difference?
Yeah, even through my bloodshot eyes. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe the moon wasn't any different at all.
I tried to just stay up instead of going to bed and getting up, but what happened? I nodded off. And
yeah, I was hoping that would happen somewhere around 9:15 last night. Kind of catch it right before bed.
All right. Yeah. Well, how about
not as funny as you think, but go ahead.
How about we talk football? Let's
okay.
just talk some football.
Into
the last third of the season, and among the games last week, some interesting developments. Class A maybe shook up a little bit, an unexpected loss for Kearney High. Grand Island and Kearney are going to try and right the ship now here, taking on some metro schools this weekend. Where are you seeing Class A? Because it looks like the power at the top, and well, outside of number one, I'm talking 2 through 5 or 6. Have they started to solidify themselves?
Oh, I personally think so. I'm not really sure of much of anything anymore. But yeah, Omaha North has certainly proven itself to be the best team in Class A, and maybe by a fair margin. But the rest of it's kind of fallen into a little bit of a pecking order. Millard North is. You know, Millard North, I still don't think this is vintage Millard North, but they are undefeated. And Creighton Prep and Bellevue West, the only thing they have going against them is they lost to Omaha North. Papillion South is, I don't know, I kind of put Papillion South in Millard North's category a little bit. I don't know that they've played the teams that some others have, but, you know, that's a good football team. And then, you know, Omaha Central, who pushed North last week really hard, is another team that is legit, but boy, after that, and maybe not even counting Omaha Central, that gets kind of goofy. I don't know how anybody else did, but we actually have Lincoln East in the top 10 because I couldn't think of what else to do. But Lincoln East beating Kearney, especially the way they did, that was a really impressive win.
You went up, and we talked about it last week. You wanted to see the Battle Creek Hardington Cedar Catholic game. You saw it. What do you think?
Battle Creek's good. I've seen Aquinas twice, and I've seen Battle Creek. And I have an awful lot of respect for my dear friend Ron Mimick and everything he's accomplished there at Aquinas. But they'd be in big trouble if they played Battle Creek. Battle Creek the other night, it was like when you have a giant boat coming into port. It doesn't look like it's moving at all, and then all of a sudden it's wiped out the entire pier. That's what it looked like. Battle Creek's big and physical. They've got a couple of really nice running backs. One of them, Jordan Zotke, is just a sophomore. But what they did the other night was pretty simple. I think I could have maybe called the plays. The right side of their offensive line, Duda, has a kid by the name of Louis De Jager, my favorite South African football player, and a kid named Alex Tucker. And they are big, strong, physical people. And what they would do is just simply quarterback would turn to his right, hand the ball off to the garden variety back of choice, and run right behind those two guys. And they were just blowing holes in Cedar Catholic. And Cedar Catholic's got some big, good-looking athletes, but they were no match for Battle Creek. And I right now it would be really hard to think anybody in C2 would, and I realize they play football in St. Cecilia and Sutton. We'll see what happens.
Well, and Sutton, very impressive win, the way they won against Donovan Trumbull, and we've got some games to look at this week. Let's start with the battle. I want to start with the Battle of Hastings, Bob. Hastings High and Adams Central. I think it's probably the Tigers' turn.
I think so, too. And, again, what's been really fun, you know, first of all, they get the Valentine kid back, which just gives them one more weapon on what has proven to be a really good offense. I mean, that's something, even when Hastings was at its best, you know, struggling to score points, I've said that before, that has not been the case this year. That has been a vibrant offense that has, you know, just answered the bell every week. Adams Central got a win that it needed there. I don't know. Hastings has got a nice team. It's not, you know, they're not going to win state or anything like that, but this team is dramatically better than what it was last year. And again, the difference on offense is just night and day.
Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, joins us every Wednesday during the high school football regular season, which unbelievably is winding down. And I guess, except for Class B, we're into it. We're into districts. We're into some really cool area matchups. But the way Class B is situated, the home stretch, the last 3 or 4 weeks, depending on the schedule for each team, that's when they finally get into districts, and it brings you those matchups. Out west, you've got Scottsbluff and Sydney, the Battle of Elkhorn. Out east, Scott and Gretna, who some people believe might be the two best or two of the best three teams, and I know none of those are right here in our backyard, but maybe after this week we're going to know a lot more about Class B.
Oh, man. Doug, if you like high school football, it doesn't matter where it's played, and those are three incredible games. And, you know, that's just it. Elkhorn, Elkhorn South, Scott, Gretna. Not only are they facing each other, they're the top four teams in our ranking of Class B, and they're all in the same district. And, in fact, there are no other teams in that district. This is it. And so that is just an unbelievable pairing. And really, Gretna, of that bunch, Gretna's the biggest surprise to me. They started basically from scratch. They have mastered the close win, but here they are, 6-0, and they get Scott. Elkhorn South is, you know, that school is just bursting at the seams. It's on its way to Class A. Elkhorn, just Elkhorn, they always win. That's just going to be two great games, 10 miles apart. And the other one, Scottsbluff and Sydney, first game of district, you know, who wins it is going to win the district. Two top 10 teams. Of note, Sydney, people back here have gotten to see Sydney some over the course of time, and of course get a little bit familiar with last year's playoff run. Kid that I really like a lot, a kid I interviewed in the preview by the name of Chance Anglin. The kid's a stud athlete, and he's also got a leg injury, and he's not been playing the last couple games. His availability for that game is somewhat up in the air. And so that would make a difference, although Sydney was able to win last week without him.
Bob, the game I'm going to be at is Elm Creek Blue Hill. Blue Hill didn't get out of the gates, obviously, and they continue to play most of the ranked teams. Most of their schedule is full of top 10 teams, but Elm Creek won the Battle of Unbeatens with Arapahoe last week. They've got a solid football team. Tell me a little bit before I talk with Jace again, and as we did at the beginning of the season, what is making them click, and what do you think about this ball game?
Well, I tell you what. In order, to me, one of the best things that's happened for anybody in eight-man is the way Christian Best has stepped up his game at running back at Elm Creek. Kid's putting just unbelievable numbers up. He's running behind a good offensive line, a kid by the name of Nate Bartling. People that follow the game here locally, the Bartling boys are big news in every way you can be big news. That's a good football team. And Arapahoe, frankly, had not played a great schedule to that point. And I wondered what was going to happen. Well, they ended up playing Elm Creek very well. And, Elm Creek's a good football team and a good football program. You know, that's just it. Coach Dooland has got things working there at Elm Creek. Those guys expect to be winners. The thing with Blue Hill, I'm still not sure Blue Hill doesn't win this game. I am just convinced that is a good football team that has been beaten by other good football teams. Now, I could get proven completely wrong. I'm probably not doing Blue Hill any favors by even saying that out loud, but that's going to be a good ball game, made all the better, of course, by having a real professional announcer calling it.
Yeah, we'll try and get one hired between now and Friday to do that. Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, who's just dug himself out of the High School Hall of Fame ceremonies from the weekend. Bob, a lot of ways I guess we can go here with some other games around the area, but I didn't see this coming, and maybe because I don't know why. I don't know why, but let's face it. If you can talk about Gibbon and Loup City, which is now with Arcadia, playing for most likely a district championship this weekend, that's something that wouldn't have been discussed and hasn't been for a number of years. Gibbon's program's in the right spot. Loup City had some success a handful of years ago, but this is actually a big game. They're not playing to get into the playoffs. Winning the district, you get in, but this is a better situation than that.
Oh, it's an awesome game. And you're right for everything you just said, dude. Anybody who likes the game, high school football, more than college or pro football, is not always about the final score. It is about the towns that these schools represent. It's about the story that gets told. It's about the lifetime memory. And this may also turn out to be for the district championship. the thing is that Gibbon football has been good for a few years. I don't know that people maybe give Coach McLaughlin, well, there people do. I mean, Coach McLaughlin's got a good program. Those guys have won a lot of football games over the years, and they've done it with remarkably few people out for the sport of football. And being 5-1, that is a tremendous achievement. And, you know, Arcadia Loop City, you know, you get a combination program like that, you don't know exactly how that's going to go. Well, it turns out it's meshed perfectly. I did have a chance to talk to my boy Thomas Jelinek the other day, who decided to move from guard to running back and went off against Ravenna. That was a really big win. And, in fact, that win, as much as anything, put Arcadia Loop City in position to be, if I'm not mistaken, 2-0 in district play. And, you know, they beat Gibbon, which I don't know that they're going to do, but if they were, they would certainly be in the catbird seat.
Talking with Bob Jensen, I find it unique as well. I look at these, and I look at Kennesaw. They score 80 points and a half last week, which is insane. And I see some games that are going to be blowouts again this week. I see the rivalry games. Broken Bow Cozad is up there, and we can go on down the list. But, Bob, I also see some games twofold, like a Donovan Trumbull. This is a top-10 team that's sitting at 3-3 with three losses to top-10 teams. They probably need to run the table to make the playoffs in the new format. There are going to be some important games out there for a Southern Valley when they play Sutton, for a Donovan Trumbull when they play Sandy Creek, both actually sitting at 3-3. And there are other games like that out there. Then I also see some games where teams that have just one or two wins are kind of playing each other, and with three games to go or four games to go, maybe we get a York. Maybe we get somebody here. I'm talking about York the past couple of years that gets hot and can get into the playoffs. I mean, Ravenna's playing Twin River. I had about four of them written down here. You got Shelton playing Axtell, teams that haven't been, Wood River playing Centura, St. Paul playing Minden. You got teams that haven't had a ton of win-loss success here at the beginning of the year but are playing winnable games for both teams this week.
Yeah. You know, those games are, you know, they're under the radar. People aren't going to be all up in arms about making sure they can get there early for a parking spot for St. Paul Minden, okay? But these are important games, not only to the kids, but to the program. I mean, everybody's trying to build something. You know, some programs are a lot closer than other programs, but there is no denying that everybody is going to have a time when things aren't working as good as they wish they were. And, sometimes it's pretty profound. Sometimes it's a winless season. Sometimes it's a 4-5 when you thought you'd be 8-1. But the games like that are a lot of fun. I mean, there's always community and school pride on the line every time you take the field. But you get into a game like that, and these guys have worked all year for this. I mean, it isn't, you know, it hasn't maybe worked out wins the way that they want, but you can't help but pull for a good game and be happy for the people who win it. As far as the other teams you were talking about, Donovan Sutton immediately, or Donovan Trumbull immediately jumps off the page. They just keep banging heads with top teams, and with only 16 getting in, only 8 wild cards. That's a tough road to hoe. Sutton needs to take care of business, keep his nose clean, so we can all have the game we want next week when they play St. Cecilia.
Yeah, that was interesting. You combining and co-opting Donovan and Sutton there. That would be a juggernaut.
I've done worse probably while we've been talking this morning, actually.
Well, I want to make sure that you can get back to work the couch, and so we don't run out of time here. The premier game, where are you going? But I know we might have a state championship preview. Of course, the way things work, it'll be a semifinal preview. But Falls City Sacred Heart and Exeter Milligan. Exeter Milligan has stepped up and answered the bell for everyone they play. Sacred Heart lost to a Missouri team that's a perennial power down there. How do you see this one, and then where are you headed? Are you headed to that one?
Well, I wish I was an amoeba. I there's enough of me to be an amoeba. I just am not an amoeba. I just can't turn, as much as I want to be at that game, I just can't turn away from those two Class B games 10 miles apart, although I'm already afraid that I'm too late to get a parking place at Gretna. As far as Exeter, Exeter Milligan is just good. And Exeter Milligan, we've talked about the kid before, Kyle Jensen, is as big a difference maker as there is in eight-man football. I don't know. Sacred Heart is just – it's Sacred Heart. It's a seven-time state championship program. They moved this Austin Malone kid from wide receiver to quarterback, and he looks like Tim Tebow did when he was in high school. They've got a lot of weapons. I think it's going to be another one of those games where there's a lot of points scored, and it's tough to pick against Exeter Milligan at home.
Well, Bob, I know you're going to be busy with Class B, and I know that I want to wrap it up with talking about Amherst because I think they're one of the teams. We talk about these teams like a Blue Hill, like an Exeter Milligan, like a Giltner, and you can go on down. Grand Island Northwest has been tested numerous times if we want to go bigger class here. Donovan Trumbull. But Amherst hasn't been tested, and they probably, unfortunately, won't be tested by Twin Loop this week, who just – hasn't been able to get it going. I know they were kind of on that borderline number 9-10 preseason ranking. Their big game will be with Burwell at the end of the year, it looks like. Are there other teams like Amherst that haven't been tested that you're waiting to see finally get tested?
Oh, God. I'm sure there are. I'm going to draw a blank on that, but I will talk directly about Amherst. I mean, you know, you get handed a schedule. You know, that's what you play. And the good news is that Amherst has just closed all these people out. They're good, even against Burwell, they're going to be a substantial favorite, to be 8-0, get into the playoffs and go from there. The thing about Amherst is they've got, it's such a veteran team. Sure, you'd like to see your team play a couple elite teams during the season just to kind of see where you're at, but I don't know that will matter as much with a team like an Amherst simply because these kids have played so much football together. I truly do think that's a team that when it gets to be playoff time, will play at a different level. There is another example there in D1. I mean, trying to compare what's going on at Hemmingford with anybody else. I mean, they have absolutely zero competition out in the panhandle. And then you've got a school like BDS that has been challenged by a lot of these schools that certainly seem to be top 10 teams as far as I'm concerned. Where's that all going to shake out? Don't know. But Amherst has done what it's supposed to do. I suspect it will do the same three more times. And then, I don't know. It's a team that had a nice playoff run last year. I would suspect the same would be true this year.
Well, since we brought up Twin Loop, Tim Manline has retorted to your shout-out here a couple of weeks ago, and he says anytime that you can bring out the old vehicle that you used to have, he would be more than glad to hop into a game with you.
That would be awesome. If I did have that Manline, I wouldn't have a job, but I would have that car, and I think, buddy, you know what I'm talking about. So,
Bob, before we get off on the wrong spot again, I will let you move along. This should be a good week for some football, and we always appreciate your time. We'll talk next week.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. Have a good time. You got a good game, dude. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Bobby. Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report. Go to Huskerland Preps online to check out everything. Top tens, feature stories on kids and athletes throughout the state, coaches. It can't do any better than what Bob Jensen does at Huskerland Prep Report. Folks, let's go to our Dent Popper inbox. Chris from Bertrand says, do you think Heisman Trophy should only be for juniors and seniors? Because when they vote for a freshman or sophomore, it's always a distraction the following year. Well, that's not the Heisman voters' problem, right, Chris? And that doesn't seem fair. You can be an MVP in any pro sport and be a rookie. No, I don't think the Heisman Trophy vote should be for juniors and seniors only, because you would still, in this day and age, you'd still be saying, well, Jameis Winston's actually, if he was a junior, he'd have been the Heisman winner, because that's all you'd hear. So what's the point? You'd hand the Heisman to a guy, and then everybody would be saying, well, he wasn't the best. Well, That'd kind of be a downer, wouldn't it? We'll get you ready for lunch here. We are here in the studio, but next Wednesday we're back at Cunningham's for Husker Lunch as we get ready for Northwestern. Wednesday's Husker Lunch time, where you can sign up to win Nebraska-Minnesota tickets. You can also do that if you're at Cunningham's for their Sunday NFL football. If you're getting tired of the same old lunch or just want a meal any old time, they're open 7 days a week, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. for the kitchen. They are there Monday through Sunday, so you can watch your favorite baseball playoffs, NFL, college. I guess, apparently, I've been told that hockey season starts tonight. I don't know, and I don't care. But apparently, it starts tonight. There's even an NBA exhibition on. Whatever it is you want to watch, that's the beauty. They're turning left a lot, too, on the weekends as the race for the cup is going on. And then I saw that the Fries.com Open is on the PGA Tour. That's this weekend. My goodness. They've got enough TVs to cover it all and feed you your favorite food. The Juicy Lucy and Juicy Jack, Old Blue, Buffalo Bill Burgers, they're all there for you. Pizzas, salads, appetizers. It is a menu that will please everyone in the family. Of course, great entertainment every weekend. And enjoy your favorite games at Cunningham's. Downtown Kearney, we are back with Brian Christopherson, Lincoln Journal star. Talk a little Huskers after this.
At First National Bank, we believe customer interactions are based on relationships, not transactions. That's why we created First National Checking, to prove our commitment to you and the community. This is not a one-time offer, but a demonstration of our ongoing dedication to put customers first. No hidden fees, no surprises, no hoops to jump through. For honest banking with no strings attached, visit one of our offices today. First National Bank, member FDIC.
Assisted living. Is it about help with the daily needs of living or about getting more out of life? Is it about the services offered or the spirit in which help is given? At Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village, the difference is in a philosophy that everyone deserves to feel loved and valued. In fact, it's a lot more than assisted living. It's a little help from your friends. For more information on assisted living, give us a call at Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
To some, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Others say it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But everyone can agree that the uniforms and equipment you play in make a big difference in how you play and how you win. That's why TM Sporting Goods gives you that winning edge with top name brands and personal service from seasoned pros like Steve Baradol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central, downtown Kearney. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Pro Team Design.
Hi, Sean Callahan here. I'm excited to tell you about a company I'm working with that will finally bring you the internet experience you've been waiting for. I'm talking about a company that is so reliable, so dependable, and has such amazing local customer service that you'll be wondering why people haven't done business like this before. Prairie iNet Fixed Wireless Internet will change the way you experience your world. Let's talk about their amazing technology. They have the largest fixed wireless network in the U.S., and because of this, they can pass their savings on to you. That means finally having reliable internet at a price you can afford. Another perk, no contracts. With Prairie iNet, you won't sign a contract ever. I've personally met the people at Prairie iNet. You can trust that you'll be getting a better internet experience, and more importantly, you can trust them. Mention my name, Sean Callahan, and you'll get a $100 Visa gift card and free installation for just signing up. Call Prairie iNet right now at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Time for the Midtown Mart Cooler Question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you yesterday who you have in the ALCS, the Royals or the Orioles. That away, hometowners. 40% took the Royals, and in quick fashion, four or five games. 30% took the Orioles in six or seven. Then the Royals in six or seven, and very few took the Orioles in quick fashion. What about the National League? Cardinals, Giants. Vote now, ESPNSuperstation.com. The Midtown Mark Cooler Question in Hastings, home of the coldest beer, coolest topics. Who you like, National League, Cardinals, Giants? Hey, I don't know. I'll tell you what, I don't even know. I don't even know who I like. I don't know who I want to win. I guess I'm leaning towards the Giants. And again, this isn't an anti-St. Louis thing. I think the Giants just seem to have a little bit more right now than what St. Louis has. But St. Louis has the magic. And it's going to be impossible to get a World Series ticket to Kauffman, and let alone if the Cardinals get in. Can you imagine that? But I'll pick the Giants, even though it wouldn't be near as much fun going out to California. But we'll see what happens. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can try us on the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line. You can give us a tweet at ESPN, 1460-1550, and the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. Well, after an eight-year journey through minor professional hockey, former Storm forward Bobby Robbins has made the Boston Bruins opening night roster. At the age of 32, he'll make his NHL debut. He suited up for Tri-City during the 2001-2002 season and is looking to become the 10th Storm player to play in the NHL when the Bruins open the season tonight against the Philadelphia Flyers. Robert Kokesh of the Huskers will face Pittsburgh's Tyler Wilps in the National Wrestling Coaches Association All-Star Classic in Philadelphia on November the 1st. Also, James Green is going to be competing in that. That was already announced. Kokesh, the two-time All-American, will join Green at the Classic. Kokesh finished fourth at the championships last year and was the Big Ten champion. He squared off against Wilps in the consolation semifinals of last year's national tournament, with Kokesh winning 2-1 in the first tiebreaker. If you just love Nebraska baseball and can't get enough of it, their annual Red White Series will begin next weekend. They are scheduled to play on the 19th, 20th, and 21st. That's a Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Sunday and Monday evenings, and then Tuesday at 12 noon to check things out. They'll have a costume contest on that Tuesday. They've got dollar hot dogs on Pepsi one day. The team can be taking pictures. You can meet them and greet them on that opening Sunday. So that's all part of the Red White Series. Couple questions, and these are the things that I know irritate the general sports fan. College game day, and again, in the big scheme of things, who cares? But ESPN's College game day, get the hell out of Mississippi. Why aren't you at TCU Baylor? You wonder why the country bashes on you for being SEC homers and creating the SEC network. And then you're there again this week. You can go to an SEC game every weekend. You have got a top 10 matchup in a different conference that you should be at. So it's TCU and Baylor. Apparently, you're telling the country that it's boring. They're not big enough programs. They're not cool enough to go to. That's where you should be. You can go to any Miss, Mississippi State, any of these games the rest of the season. You got to get out of the SEC. And this didn't come up because probably Nebraska lost, but this didn't come up. When watching the football game between Nebraska and Michigan State on Saturday night, did it get so out of hand that Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit had to bring that ding-dong producer in from the truck? I don't need to see that guy again. That is a waste of time. Fowler was chuckling the whole time. He had lost interest in the football game. I think what happened was is the guys that were in the truck, and we heard Kirk Herbstreit talk about this, I believe it was on Cowherd last week. It wasn't even a talk about Big Ten. They were just getting ready for the game and coming out of a meeting. They threw it to the SEC. I don't think Fowler wanted to be there. The game turned out like they thought it might. Michigan State was going to be a big winner, and then Nebraska makes the big comeback there. But I don't need to see, and I don't even remember what his name is, but I don't need to see that guy again. They're bringing him in on game day. They're hauling him around in a truck somewhere. I don't need his banter. He brings absolutely nothing to the telecast. And I want to know if they will continue to do that throughout the season or it was just that game and they were bored with it. We'll find out. Your thoughts on anything that we talk about on the program, always welcome. Email us, tweet us, Facebook us, whatever you'd like to do. The Hastings College volleyball team is at home tonight to take on Midland University, who has moved up to number 8 in the country. First serve is set for 7:30. The Hastings College soccer teams swept Nebraska Wesleyan yesterday. The Hastings men are now 16th and the women 24th in the country. The Hastings women have won 9 straight matches. There was a lot of high school volleyball action last night. Aurora beat Kearney. Grand Island beat Bellevue East. Central Catholic over Adams Central. St. Cecilia, Grand Island Northwest both won a pair of matches last night in the area. State golf, congratulations to Kearney Catholic, Cozad, Grand Island Central Catholic, and C4 District Champion Minden, who shot the lowest score in Class C, and that was at Wild Horse, people. This wasn't at some, however you want to say it, wasn't at an easier course. But congratulations to Minden as they head off to state. They had 4 of the top 8 individuals. Minden won at Kearney Catholic 2nd, Cozad 3rd. Morgan Teal of Kearney Catholic was the medalist with an 81. Brandy Lemick of Donovan Trumbull, McKinley Carm of Gothenburg make it as individuals. Central Catholic was 2nd at the C2. That was at Indian Head. And the Class C state meet will be at Quail Run in Columbus. That gets underway Monday and Tuesday, as does Class B at Pioneers and Lincoln and Class A at the Norfolk Country Club. The Lou Platt Conference Cross Country meet was yesterday. On the boys' side, Adams Central edged Donovan Trumbull by 2 points, followed by Kearney Catholic. Then it was Ord, Ravenna, St. Paul, and Arcadia Loop City. Nick Lindblad of Adams Central, the easy winner over Blake Ballard of Donovan Trumbull. Zach Jackson and Hunter Ozentoski of Kearney Catholic finished 3rd, 4th, and Trey Alexander of Adams Central rounded out the top 5. Right down to the wire, half-second race on the girls' side. You run for nearly 20 minutes, and it comes down to a half a second. Maddie Quist of Donovan Trumbull edges Adams Central's Sophia Connett. And then it was Lexi Hoffman of Donovan Trumbull, Zoe Ritz of Ord, and Raven Kramer of Ravenna. Adams Central won the girls' team race, followed by Ravenna, Ord, Donovan Trumbull, and Kearney Catholic. And district softball will get underway tomorrow as well. We'll take a break. Be back with more after this.
United, we transform lives. It's more than just a slogan. To many in our community, it means the difference between healthcare, financial stability, and education. Through United Way's community programs, over 24,000 lives will be touched by your donations. The funds raised through the annual United Way campaign will help support 41 programs right here in South Central Nebraska. Please find it in your heart to donate to this year's campaign. For more details, log on to UnitedWaySCNE.org or call 461-8412. Give, advocate, volunteer.
Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry supplies for a combined 140 years of experience, including the new showroom in Grand Island on West Highway 30. Stop in today and let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and the value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
This is Wayne. Wayne, tell everyone why you're talking like that. Because someone triple dog dared you to touch the side of a beer can from the Midtown Mart cooler with your tongue and now it's stuck. Is that about covered? Wayne, by the way, no longer doubts that Midtown Mart has the coldest beer in town. Free ice and free carry out for Midtown Mart customers. The convenient liquor mart. Midtown Mart on West 2nd and Hastings.
Since the dawn of time, the land has been nurtured, first by the hands of nature and then by the hands of man. Farming is a way of life here. Today's farmer has a feel for the land, a knowing touch that shows in the riches of the harvest. And for years, they've depended on CHS Agri-Service Center to help them. CHS is a locally owned and locally controlled, so the people behind the counters and on the phones are the people you've known for years, people you can rely on. There's a CHS Service Center near you and always here at chsagri.com.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
OneRocky.com.
Doug and Daddy Variety Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Rolling along on this Wednesday. Don't forget, we're over at Bandits in Grand Island tomorrow. Blair Kirkhoff, Kansas City Star, Luke Hoover, RotoWire to answer your fantasy football questions and a whole lot more. We're going to talk Husker football here with Brian Christofferson of the Lincoln Journal Star, and our Husker football talk brought to you by T&L Irrigation Systems. If you're thinking about a new pivot irrigation system, then now is the time. Now, for a limited time, it's the Harvest Special $5 per foot discount. You can save $6,500 when you buy a quarter mile long T&L pivot. And make sure you'll get decades of reliability with that T&L pivot system. If you're out there, as you are, getting into the fields, harvesting throughout the state of Nebraska or wherever you're listening to the program today, you know that you're almost done and you'll be looking for 2015. Well, don't miss up this opportunity to save some money. It is T&L's Harvest Special, $5 per foot discount. Contact your local T&L dealer or go to TLIRR.com. And we welcome into the Doug and Daddy Show from the Lincoln Journal Star. Hold on. Oh, that didn't throw you off, did it, Brian? Good morning.
Yeah, that was all the talk for 24 hours, hasn't it been? Clapping.
It's crazy, and I just want to get your feel as I listen back, because Bo spoke during the show yesterday. We couldn't chime in live for the Big Ten teleconference, but as I listen back to it, I think we're okay. There's no animosity between the two teams or coaches, is there?
Well, I couldn't tell for sure. Bo was pretty matter-of-fact in how he answered it. I mean, everyone was kind of wondering around here what the heck happened between Mark Pelini and Tommy Armstrong. Why were there, like, five snaps where Tommy didn't appear ready for it? So it was an obvious question to ask, and Bo needed to give an answer, and he did. And it just so happened that Mark D'Antonio followed him on the teleconference. He's the next guy up, and obviously he's going to defend his guys. I didn't feel like, you know, I know there's some people read the words that Bo said and it'll come off as sour grapes and whining or something like that. More so, when I was listening to it, it was just a coach giving an explanation to a question everyone around the state was kind of wondering about. And so that was that. But yeah, it has taken a life of its own, kind of with now YouTube videos showing it, spotlighting a Michigan State guy clapping like it's the Pruda film and all this stuff. It's been kind of a funny bi-week story, I guess.
Brian, what do you and your compadres at the Journal Star and your other media friends, what do you think? Was it intentional?
Yes, I do. I mean, when you look at the video, I think it was an act of, I guess you would call it gamesmanship. If you're on Michigan State's side, if you're on Nebraska's side, you might call it Bush League. I don't know. But yeah, when you kind of zone in on the guy, linebacker number 43 from Michigan State, Ed Davis, I believe is his name. He was obviously doing it right before the snap, and D'Antonio's contention was that they use that to set up their defense. But if you watch it, nobody moves when the guy claps on Michigan State's defense, so that seems kind of dubious. I think it was an act of I'll be nice and call it gamesmanship by Michigan State. On Nebraska's part, though, you know what? You got to adjust to that. There's all sorts of weird stuff that goes on up there in the trenches, especially, and you have to find ways around it on the road. And Bo Pelini said as much yesterday. This is something that was a story, you know, during that teleconference. But they've got to move on and they've got to find alternative plans to get around stuff like that if somebody is trying to distract or snap cadence.
Brian Christofferson joining us here from the Lincoln Journal Star on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Let's get to the game in general, Brian. From the press box view, is Nebraska the team that we saw, I want to say, in the second and third quarters? Because in the first quarter, they had opportunities going into the wind. And I was surprised that wasn't brought up a little bit yesterday either. Have we got an answer to why Nebraska? And again, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, because I can definitely see wanting the wind going into halftime and maybe getting that last score going into the locker room type of mentality, put your defense out there. But was Nebraska supposed to go into the wind in the first quarter? Have we answered that yet?
No, it hasn't been answered, and it's a good question. You know, those teleconference segments with each coach are only 8 minutes long, and I chimed in and asked a question, and then I actually phoned in to ask another one, and I never got around to it. And that was, I wanted to ask that because I have had a lot of people ask me, you know, why Nebraska's kicking off and kicking into the wind, kind of an unusual thing. Some people might shrug that off, but it turned out to be a pretty big deal when you get the turnover on the 30-yard line right off the bat, and then have an opportunity to kick a 48-yard field goal, but can't do it because you're going into the wind. So it kind of backfired on Nebraska. So it is a fair question. It hasn't been answered. I don't know if that was coaches who wanted to do that, or if sometimes there's a miscommunications between what coaches want to do and what a captain says to the officials out there. That happens on occasion. So I don't know what happened, but it is a fair question, and it is something that hurt Nebraska, I think. It was one of those little things. You know, we always talk about these little things that can turn into big things, and in a game that ended up being decided by 5 points, it was significant.
Brian, was this a 5-point game, or was it a 20-point game?
Well, it felt for most of it like a 20-point game, and that's why it left a lot of people confused, I think, because their eyeballs told them this was kind of a blowout. In the same respect, you have to give it to Nebraska for not folding the tent like I think some of their teams might have in the past. In a way, it felt like I was watching two different Nebraska teams. Like, you get to the offensive side of the ball, and you just shake your head at that performance. I mean, especially what happened up front, just really got manhandled. And I think went up against the Michigan State defense that was A, ultra-talented, and B, was highly motivated. And when you put those two things together, that's a dangerous combination. Michigan State had heard all week about how Nebraska's had the success running the ball on them. They're the one team that kind of has their number. Don't think that wasn't drilled into their guys' heads, you know, all 7 days leading into that game, and probably long before that. So they were a group that was fired up, and they played with a very high intensity. Then you go to the defensive side of the ball for Nebraska, and I frankly thought they played well enough to win. I thought there's a lot from that game you can take and say, okay, going forward with that type of performance, Nebraska can win the West. I really think that, but they got to keep playing at that type of level. Obviously, they gave up some chunk plays that you don't want to give up. The 55-yard touchdown pass where Michigan State is smart and goes right after the backup cornerback after Daniel Davey goes down, stuff like that. But for the most part, I liked how they played on that side of the ball, and I think you have to give them credit. After the Armstrong turnover on the 15-yard line, they stepped up and they held Michigan State to a field goal. It was stuff like that that they did on the defensive side of the ball that I don't know that would have happened in years past. So, yeah, it was strange. It's kind of there's two different games. You look at Nebraska's offense, it's bad. You look at the defense, it's good. We're kind of back to where we were in August, where we had this feeling the defense was going to lead this team. I think that's kind of where we are right now.
Brian, what is the biggest challenge ahead of Nebraska before the final three games with Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa to not stub their toe, to just go out and take care of business? They're obviously, I say obviously, they're better than their next three opponents. What does Nebraska have to be most afraid of during this next month?
Well, I think they got to get their mind right during this bye week, and they have to understand that it is really all out there for them. And I know people in this state don't like to hear that after a loss, but there's a major opportunity for this program still in front of them this year because, as you say, the next three games on paper are games you should just take care of business. And if you do that, you're sitting at 8-1, and if before the season you had told most people around here, okay, Nebraska is going to be 8-1 with a 5-point loss at Michigan State going into those final three games, let's see what happens, a lot of people would have taken that. So they need to quickly move past what happened Saturday night. They need to learn from that experience, and they need to take whatever positives they can from it. The fact that they fought, the fact that they were on the road, didn't play their best game, but still went down to the wire. And then I think the big other factor here is injuries. They've just got to get some guys healthy. And for the guys who aren't going to get healthy, they've got to find some answers quick. And they're going to need some young players to step up and have bigger roles than maybe we thought going into the season. And I'm talking in particular about that wide receiver position. The loss of Kenny Bell Saturday night was huge, and it sounds like Kenny's going to be back, but let's face it, that's been a nagging injury. You don't know if that's going to return for him at some point. You're going to need guys like Alonzo Moore, DeMornay Pearsonell, Tariq Allen to step up in a big way over these last six games, I think, if Nebraska's going to win the division, not just as wide receivers and catching the ball, but doing their job on the perimeter as blockers. So there's guys like that that I look at as needing to step up. You look at Sam Cotton at tight end, Trey Foster. Those guys need to step up because Ethan Carter is going to be out for a few weeks. So there are some people that we weren't necessarily talking about in August who are going to be important now in October and November, and they need to rise to the occasion.
Last minute here with Brian Christopherson, Lincoln Journal Star on the Doug and Daddy Show. He is the Husker beat writer for the Journal Star. I don't know if you've got an answer for this, but one of our listeners to the Dent Popper inbox emails in and says, hey, would you ask Brian if he thinks Kendall Bussey will stay committed to the Huskers since he has offers from Notre Dame, A&M, and some other SEC schools?
Well, he's one of those guys you knew was going to get more and more attention because he's a top 100 recruit in this class, and those are the kind of guys you want on your commit list. But when you get him, you also know you're going to have to fight and fight to keep him. Everything I have heard suggests that he's very happy with Nebraska. He has a good relationship with the coaches, and I think he looks at Amir Abdullah and what he's done this year, and he thinks, I can step in and I can be that guy right away. I think Kendall Bussey is the type of confident guy who looks at that depth chart in the competition and isn't running scared at all. He thinks he can come in and play. Now, that said, Nebraska's got to keep on him because anybody who follows Kendall Bussey at all, if you notice his Twitter account, I mean, he'll tweet out every offer he gets. He's very proud of the offers he gets, so he's one of those kids who does sort of like that attention and the fact that people are noticing him. So that always puts that thought in your mind, is this guy 100% committed? But right now I just have to go by his word, and he says he is, and so that's what I'll do for now. But he's one of those guys you got to keep on all the way up to signing day.
Brian, we'll let you out of here with this. It's the bye week, but the next game up is Northwestern. Depending on what they do at Minnesota, that could really they'll come in an angry team, or they're going to come in a hot team after a sluggish start. Does this come down to if our O-line finds out how to get back to where they were a couple of weeks ago, or are there other factors?
Yeah, I think it does. I think that offensive line needs to look in the mirror over the next couple of weeks here and say exactly what went wrong here. I mean, when you run the ball for 47 yards on 37 carries, that does something to your ego. So you got to get your confidence back. You got to figure out what went wrong and go to work on fixing it because they got to play a lot better. And you know, you bring up Northwestern. If Northwestern wins this week, I mean, you know how it is around here. They'll be compared to the 85 Bears by the time the game comes around. People build them up to be a really great team. I think Nebraska has much more talent than Northwestern. It's just a matter of taking care of themselves, winning at the line of scrimmage, and not turning the ball over. But as I said at the beginning, I think that this defense is the key. And I think if they can take their game up just another level yet, I think they've got the horses on that side of the ball to help them win the West Division. But certainly you want to see that offensive line play a lot better.
He is Brian Christopherson from the Lincoln Journal Star, and I'm going to put this up to a bad joke. This is a bad joke alert, but you know what happens when the offensive line looks in a mirror, don't you, Brian?
No, go for it.
They see their running back, Abdullah.
Yeah. Well, Amir, you know, Amir needs some help, man. I mean, we were talking about him having a shot at awards and Heisman and all this stuff, but you know as well as I do, those things, they're individual awards, but they're as much team awards as everything else. And if they want to get that guy to New York City, and I would think that's a motivation for that offensive line. They want to get that guy in the top five, at least get him to New York and have a shot at that award. They need to step up if he's going to do that because he needs help.
Good point. Love to hear it. And hopefully the Huskers will get towards that Indianapolis. We'd love to be there for the Big Ten championship game. Brian, we'll let you get to lunch and the rest of your day. Appreciate you giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
No, thanks for having me.
Take care, Brian Christopherson, beat writer, Huskers, Lincoln Journal Star. Check out his stuff on thejournalstar.com and the Husker Extra section. If you're heading out to lunch, don't forget this is Wednesday, and a lot of places say they're sports bar and grills, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop. Their Wednesday lunch special is the turkey BLT and a side for only $6.49. Lunch specials are daily from 11 to 4, but food is there all day long. And if you're into the afternoon, happy hour is 2 to 5:30. Appetizer specials for 2 and a quarter. Long necks and draws for $2.25. So bring the family in, bring the friends in, bring the coworkers in. Maybe just slide in for a quick little appetizer and a cold one, play a game or two of Keno just to get away from the rat race. It's all there for you at the Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds, located in downtown Kearney. Tomorrow, Delusional Husker fan will chime in. We just got an email from him, and since Delusional is from Grand Island, I want to give that forefront when we're at Bandits tomorrow for our Doug and Daddy Show. We'll see Tim and the gang at Bandits. We invite you to join us for lunch tomorrow at Bandits in Grand Island. Steve Anderson, Fauner Park, Skate Island. He will be there to join us as our co-host. We'll also be talking with Blair Kirkhoff of the Kansas City Star, not only about football, but more importantly, the Royals, as they are getting closer to Friday's ALCS opener at Baltimore. Well, Luke Hoover will answer all your fantasy football questions tomorrow. If you've got a question for Luke, you don't have to wait till tomorrow at 11:30 to send it in. You can tweet us, you can Facebook us, you can email us anytime, your fantasy football questions for Luke Hoover. We do want to thank Brian Christopherson of the Lincoln Journal Star for joining us today, as well as Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report and UNK soccer coach John Mazner for chiming in today as well. For our producer-engineer Jeff Babel, I'm Doug Duda. Thanks for joining us, and if you miss any part of the show today, this week, this month, this year, the podcast is always up at ESPNSuperstation.com.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.